Something I'm not so grateful about this week, Bob challenged me to the ice bucket challenge. And so we set out chairs in the front of the church with the church behind, and Bob and I both were poured ice water over our heads, and Paul was filming it, and Paul's story is that the Wi-Fi cut out in the middle of it, so we had to do it twice. Bob said, "Shall we hold hands?" I said, "Yes, we should, especially the second time." So if you want to see my moment of wet hair and embarrassment, and Bob in his choir robe and me in my pulpit robe getting sloshed with ice and water, look on Facebook or on our website and you can see the joy of that event. We didn't challenge anyone specifically except all of you. And because we like you, we didn't ask you to take the ice bucket challenge. We just said give to ALS. So, you know, thank your lucky stars. We didn't name anyone in particular. And go ahead and donate to your favorite charity or to ALS. Also, today is Jordan's last day for a while as our accompanist. Jordan has been driving in from Kansas City this summer to play for us, and we have truly been blessed these 3 months with his music. I received an email recently, and it told me to be very careful about flashing my headlights at cars with their bright lights on, because they could be gang members. And if I flash my lights at them, they would shoot me. I put that email in the same folder that I put the one about men laying under cars and slicing women's ankles as they get into the car. And also in that place in my email file, there was the email about Madeline Murray O'Hare sponsoring a bill to keep prayer out of schools. She's been dead for a long time. I put them in the trash file. Now, there's a lot of trash out there. Anyone who's on the net knows that. And the creation of the internet, thank you, Al Gore, has helped... Sorry, bad sense of humor here. It has helped people spread more half-truths and fear around. So today I want to have a little fun since it's a holiday weekend, and you tell me what is truth and what is trash. So the first question is, donkeys kill more people annually than plane crashes. True? Trash. It's about 50-50. The balcony thinks it's trash. It's true. Can you believe? This one I received from a relative whose IQ doesn't go very high. Oops. KFC has changed their name from Kentucky Fried Chicken to KFC because they no longer use real chicken. True or trash? True? Trash. Oh, you guys are right. It's trash. I kind of gave it away when I said something about his IQ. The first owner of the Marlboro Company actually died from lung cancer. True or trash? True? Trash. 50-50, it's true. In ancient Egypt, priests plucked every hair from their bodies, including eyebrows and eyelashes. True? Trash. It's true. Hypodermic needles with heroin, AIDS, and other yucky stuff are commonly found in McDonald's play areas, telephone booths, and lurking around just about everywhere, waiting for you to come by so it can poke and infect you. True? Trash. You're right, it's trash. Mosquito repellents don't repel, they actually hide you. They are spray blocks to mosquitoes' sensors, so they don't know where you are. True? Trash. That's true. How are we supposed to know? All this stuff goes around. A supposedly evolved society, and we, here we are, we don't know for sure, but we perpetrate this trash. Why? Are we that gullible? Well, I think there are a number of reasons that we believe stupid stuff. One reason that I've already mentioned is they tap into our inner emotions and our fear. So we believe them because we don't want to be vulnerable. And that's probably the case with the story about the men under the cars waiting for a woman to walk by so they can slash her ankles with a knife and render her helpless. A whole lot of parents have sent this email to their daughters who are away at college or living as adults in another city. And why? Because we want to protect them from evil people. So that particular hoax plays on our vulnerability, and we believe it because we're afraid not to. Another reason we like to believe things that aren't necessarily true is to convince ourselves that other people somehow deserve their misfortune. It's easy to put people who are different from us down in order to keep a very clear line of separation between us and them. If I think that all homeless people are lazy or mentally ill or some such designation, it's easier for me to trick myself into believing that because I'm not those things, I'm immune from homelessness. If I can place attributes on someone else, it makes it easier to devalue and displace them so that their lives don't look like mine. And so we often believe trash about others in order to make ourselves exempt from their problems. Now, there are other reasons that we fall for mental trash. Increasingly, we want other people to do our thinking for us. I know this doesn't apply to anyone here, but in general, it's really quite easy to let other people think for us. You know, access to information is unlimited today, and it's easy to become overwhelmed with all that stuff. And I've caught myself on more than one occasion saying, I don't really want to know the details. Just give me the bottom line. And usually it's because I'm overflowing with way too much information or I'm in a rush. I just can't look to see if it's true. I don't have the time. So the path of least resistance is a very attractive one. And yet it only takes a bit of time to go to a reliable person or a reliable source and ask for the truth. The problem is that there are some things we need to know, some things we ought to know, and some things that are simply worth knowing. It seems to me that matters of faith fall in all three of these categories. Yet, how many people do you know who let someone else do their religious thinking on their behalf? These are people who are willing to die because a religious leader has told them that they would receive some fabulous reward in the afterlife for doing themselves in. Look at history, and you'll find people in almost every major religious tradition willing to die for the cause. Were they being faithful, or just allowing someone else to think for them? But unfortunately, it's not just a thing in our past. There are a number of people and churches in our own city where it is acceptable and even recommended to allow someone else to do all the thinking about religion and speaking for the masses. Thank goodness, most days I'm thankful that you aren't a congregation like that. Don't trust what your preacher says. She makes stuff up occasionally just to see if you're paying attention. The scripture admonishes us to be wise. And in fact, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and reason are all listed as gifts that are given to humanity by God. The traditional word for today is a reminder that we are supposed to seek truth and God's wisdom as we live every day. So here is our text from Proverbs 1. These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king, written down so we'll know how to live well and right, to understand what life means and where it's going. A manual for living, for learning what's right and just and fair, to teach the inexperienced the ropes and give our young people a grasp on reality. There's something here also for seasoned men and women, still a thing or two for the experienced to learn. Fresh wisdom to probe and penetrate the rhymes and the reasons of wise men and women. Start with God. The first step in learning is to bow down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. Pay close attention, friend, to what your father and mother tell you. Never forget what you've learned at their knee. Wear like counsel the flowers in your hair, like rings on your finger. Dear friend, if bad companions tempt you, don't go along with them. What you need to know is that wisdom, in the biblical sense, is a term for everyday living. So wisdom is this kind of art of living skillfully in whatever condition you find yourselves in. It has virtually nothing at all to do with mere head knowledge or information that you have collected. For example, looking at a biblical type of wisdom, a college degree is no proof whatsoever of wisdom. And we all know this inside of us. It might help us, but it doesn't prove that you have wisdom in your life. The biblical kind of wisdom has to do with things like becoming skillful in honoring our parents and raising our children, handling our money, conducting ourselves morally, going to work and exercising leadership, treating friends kindly, eating and drinking healthfully, cultivating emotions within ourselves and attitudes towards others that make for peace. This is what biblical wisdom is about. Compare this with the list of trash that we often mistake for wisdom and knowledge. If you're looking for a biblical passage that will tell you more about how to make good daily choices and how to live in a good way, I would urge you to read Proverbs for yourself. It's sort of in the middle of the Bible if you have trouble finding it. It's a long book near Psalms. So it's full of truth, and it teaches what's right and just and fair, what's moral, and what's trash. And instead of being vulnerable to the trash we talked about before, it suggests that the best place to be vulnerable is with God. If we are wise, we put priority on our knowledge of what is holy. We won't carte blanche accept what someone else tells us to believe, even if that is someone is a person we know and trust. Because if we are wise, we will evaluate what we hear and what we say according to what is right, just, and fair, and we will check it out before we fall for it. There's a story about a woman named Sarah. She was a church gossip, and she was the self-appointed arbiter of the morals of all church members. Thank goodness we don't have anyone here who does that. And she kept sticking her nose into other people's business. So several of the church members were unappreciative of her activities, but they feared her power enough that they liked to maintain silence around her. But one day, Sarah made a mistake. She accused George, not George Morrison, who was a new member of this church, to she accused him of being an alcoholic after she saw his pickup truck parked in front of the town's only bar one afternoon. And she commented to George and to others that the only reason one would park their car in front of the local bar in the middle of the afternoon was because one was drinking to excess. Now, George was a man of few words. He looked at her for a moment, and then he just walked away. He didn't explain himself, he didn't deny it, and he didn't defend it. He said nothing. But later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup in front of Sarah's house and left it there all night. Truly, as a minister, I am sort of amazed by the things that people are willing to believe. Here's an example. The scripture says, God will never give you more than you can handle. Ever heard that one? Truth or trash? True? Trash. Oh, thank goodness. It isn't in the Bible. I can't tell you how many times people have said that to me, and I've said, show me where it says God won't give you more than you can handle, because I know several people who got more than they could handle. I'd venture to guess that more than half of Christians today think it is in the Bible, and worse, they quote it to others. You simply can't subject your faith and your belief to someone else's whims, even if Bill Gates is giving away all his money to people who put his picture on Facebook. I saw that again this week, and someone said, I don't have time to look it up, so just in case, I'm doing it. You can't simply accept what someone tells you anymore, even if it seems true. So truth or trash, we're probably better off reading the book of Proverbs and other good writing than spending quite so much time on the internet forwarding emails and playing on people's fears. I thank God for the gift of wisdom that many of us enjoy, and let us continue to seek out truth and reason as we live our lives today and in the future. As you're able, I'd invite you to stand and let's sing our benediction song, Go in Peace.